This is Jeff Guy and Surgery ICU Rounds. Today we're going to have a journal review, and the topic is glutamine supplementation in critical illness. The article we're going to review is from the Journal of Burn Care and Rehab from 2006. This is volume 27, pages 764 to 772. The author is Mark Wendell. We'll try to make the PDF of this article available on the website. Glutamine is the most abundant amino acid found in plasma cells. The primary site for synthesis and storage is skeletal muscle. Glutamine is involved in gluconeogenesis, the acid-base system, and synthesis of other amino acids. Glutamine is also a preferred oxidative fuel for rapidly dividing cells, such as lymphocytes and mucosal cells of the gastrointestinal tract. Glutamine is considered a conditionally essential amino acid. In metabolic stress, demand by the liver, kidney, and intestinal tract outstrips peripheral production and release, and therefore plasma levels decrease rapidly. Severe glutamine depletion occurs in major thermal injury. If supplementation is not provided, adverse effects may include an increased risk of mortality and infection, sustained inflammatory response, negative nitrogen balance, muscle wasting, and reduced GI integrity. After at least 20 years of research, glutamine supplementation is moving from the research arena into clinical practice. Recommendations are now being suggested for enteral glutamine in burns and supplementation for all critically ill patients who require parenteral nutrition. Current knowledge of glutamine supplementation in critical illness is summarized within this article, with particular reference to burns and published recommendations. The implications of these aspects on clinical practice and burn care are also considered. The one thing that will be mentioned throughout this article that may confuse some practitioners in the United States is the mention of parenteral glutamine. Parenteral glutamine is not available in the United States. It is available in Europe as a glutamine dipeptide, but it's not a misspeak or a misquote when you hear me say that. Now, improved outcomes in terms of wound healing rates, morbidity, and length of stay were achieved with glutamine therapy. In 6 randomized control studies, they observed faster wound healing rates with enteral glutamine supplementation. Glutamine also appears to confer protective effects against local and systemic infection. Garrell and colleagues found that enteral glutamine supplementation was associated with a reduced incidence of Pseudomonas aeruginosa bacteremia, and overall positive blood cultures was 3 times greater in the untreated group. In the parenteral glutamine study by Weschmeyer and colleagues, there was a significant reduction in the incidence of gram-negative infection in the treatment group compared to the control group, 8% for the glutamine group and 43% for the control group. And also there was a decrease in the inflammatory markers. Regarding the period of care, hospital stay was reduced up to 15 days in 5 of the studies. Whether glutamine is capable of reducing mortality in burn patients remains unclear. A decreasing trend in mortality with use of enteral and parenteral glutamine was observed, although this only reached statistical significance in 1 enteral glutamine supplementation trial. Cost savings have been associated with enteral glutamine therapy in burn trials, as published by Zhao et al. Although the cost of glutamine enrichment nutrition was almost double that of the control group, overall hospital costs were approximately 10% less in those treated with glutamine. At least 3 systemic reviews of enteral and parenteral glutamine supplementation work have been published during the last 5 years. Most of these studies concern ICU populations, including burns, trauma, and surgical patients. Although conclusions were variable, again, there appears to be no intervention trials that suggest glutamine supplementation caused harm in terms of mortality or infection. Overall findings include reduced risk of infections, complications, shorter hospital and ICU stay, and a reduced mortality, particularly in critically ill patients. The largest effect of enteral glutamine on infectious complications was in a large trauma study, which did include burn patients but excluded those with burns greater than 15% total body surface area. The American Society for Parenteral and Enteral Nutrition, also known as ASPEN, provides regularly updated extensive practice guidelines related to various aspects of artificial nutrition support in a wide range of clinical settings. In the most recent version, grade A recommendations were made for the early initiation of nutritional support, use of enteral root, and provision of appropriate amounts of energy and protein for burn patients. it was commented that there may be some potential for the use of immune-enhancing substrates in burns, and reference was made to work which had demonstrated immunological benefits of glutamine in pediatric burn patients. However, Espin concluded at the time of the publication, there was insufficient evidence to support routine use of specific immune-enhancing nutrients, including glutamine in burn patients. It should be noted that since the release of these guidelines in 2002, at least 5 randomized controlled trials and 3 systematic reviews have been published, all of which suggested positive effects of glutamine supplementation in burn patients. Now, patients with major burn injury, particularly those with smoke inhalation, often require sedation and ventilation for several weeks. Therefore, a patient requiring enteral nutrition may be going on for several weeks. What is the optimal duration of glutamine supplementation has been a source of extensive study, and the optimal duration of glutamine supplementation in critical illness is not yet defined. Cost savings as the result of shorter length of stay in the ICU and clinical benefits are particularly marked in patients requiring at least 5 days of glutamine-enriched enteral nutritional support, and systematic reviews support a minimum 5-day administration period. If benefit commences at around 5 days of supplementation, further clarification is required as to just how far to continue the glutamine supplementation. A major summit on the use of immune-enhancing nutritional substrates concluded that the data were lacking in this area. Basically, how long should one continue the glutamine? It's clear that we should have glutamine supplementation for at least 5 days, but should we stop it after 5 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? It may be that different periods of supplementation are required depending on the desired effect. For example, for mucosal protection, optimizing immune function, or sparing endogenous glutamine utilization. Duration in trials has shown benefit varies typically from 1 to 4 weeks. Improved long-term mortality at 6 months has been noted in ICU patients giving glutamine supplementation for at least 10 days. Decreased production and increased central consumption of glutamine persists for a minimum of 11 days after acute burn injury. Consequently, there may be a case for more prolonged period of supplementation in burns that suggest that for many other critically ill patients. Most of the randomized controlled trials of burn patients continue supplementation for between 10 and 14 days. No published trials appear to have fully investigated the use of glutamine therapy in burns beyond 4 weeks. There may be no added benefit to routinely continuing glutamine supplementation after this period of 4 weeks, at least in burns smaller than 30%, as the inflammatory response, and therefore possibly the glutamine flux, returns near baseline by then. However, the overall hypermetabolic response that is common in severe burn injury can persist beyond the ICU stay, even for months, and often is manifested by continued weight loss. Weight appears to be better maintained in burn children compared to adults in the inpatient phase, but growth in young pediatric patients is delayed for up to 3 years. That's right, 3 years after burn, particularly in children who are malnourished. The mechanism for this long-term inability to obtain catch-up growth is not fully understood. Resting energy expended in severe burns remains increased in patients for at least 12 months after injury. Decreased plasma glutamine concentrations in burns are a result of both a deficient in peripheral release and an increased use by high glutamine-consuming tissues. Logic would suggest that plasma glutamine concentrations may provide an ideal indicator for the need for glutamine therapy. Indeed, a low concentration appears to be a poor prognostic indicator in the ICU setting, and has been suggested that plasma glutamine may provide a practical tool for determining which patients should be commenced on therapy on admission. The optimal dose remains undefined. Clinically important differences appear to commence at doses of greater than 0.2 grams per kilo of body weight per day. However, dose requirements may differ depending on the disease state, and patients with a more severe state of disease with a greater glutamine demand may require a greater glutamine dose. Most trials have used about 10 to 15 grams per day glutamine, but it has been suggested that in disease states such as critical illness and major burns, requirements may be in the region up to 25 to 35 grams per day. Most of the burn trials previously discussed use enteral doses in the region of 0.35 to 0.57 grams per kilo of body weight per day, the upper limit which required approximately 40 grams per day for a 70 kilogram adult. Regards to safety, there is no evidence of harm with glutamine use with respect to mortality and infectious complications in any of the randomized controlled trials. Metabolic safety and glutamine in terms of dose, duration have all been studied in healthy and catabolic subjects. No clinical evidence of toxicity or generation of potentially neurotoxic metabolites of glutamine, that is ammonia and glutamate, were found in healthy volunteers giving single oral doses of glutamine or a mean dose of 22.2 grams. So in conclusion, regarding glutamine supplementation in critically ill patients, and particularly burn patients, one should always exercise caution when adopting therapies into routine clinical practice, but glutamine supplementation does appear to confer significant clinical and cost advantages in critical illness. Burn patients may be one particular group who benefit. Glutamine supplementation appears to be relatively safe, up to a level of 0.5 grams per kilo body weight per day. There may be a rule for supplementing glutamine for 2 to 3 weeks after burn. Monitoring plasma glutamine concentrations may rationalize the initiation as well as the duration of glutamine therapy, although there may be limits to its usefulness. This is Surgery ICU Rounds. This is Jeff Guy. Thank you.